Europe in my backyard.
L'Europa in casa nostra.
Europa in mi casa.
Un'inchiesta radiofonica sulla politica di coesione europea.
Radijsko poručanje o evropski kohezijski politiki.
Europe in my backyard.
So, hello and welcome to Europe in my backyard. I'm Paula Wiseman, and over the course of the following weekly programmes, we're going to be hearing about the many ways in which European cohesion policy impacts us all on our daily lives. So today I am lucky enough to be joined on Zoom by Teresa Lennon. Teresa is the head of the Irish Regions European Office and coordinator for the Irish delegation to the Committee of the Regions. So hey Teresa, how are you?
I'm good, Paula. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you today.
No worries.
I'm delighted to be here.
That's a big old job title anyway you've got.
It is indeed.
So let's start off. Can you tell us a little bit about the Irish Regions European Office? What is their role in the grand scheme of things?
Okay, so the Irish Regions European Office is based in Brussels, and it represents the three regional assemblies that exist in Ireland. And I think you've had some guests previously from some of the regional assemblies. So the Irish Regions European Office represents those three regional assemblies in Brussels and also represents the 31 local authorities that are in Ireland. So we provide support and advice and guidance to the regional assemblies and to the local authorities on EU cohesion policy and on other EU funding programmes that may be relevant for the local authorities. We also provide them with policy advice and guidance in terms of what's happening in terms of EU legislation and what is likely to impact on local authorities in Ireland and on the regional assemblies. So we're a shared service for the regional assemblies, and then with that incorporating the 31 local authorities. And that's one part of our role. And as you mentioned, the other part of our role is as the national coordination for the Irish delegation to the Committee of the Regions. So we support Committee of the Regions members in all of their work here in Brussels.
So that's a job and a half, isn't it? I mean, it must be, a lot of your job must be continuously updating. I mean, you know, there must be updates literally on a daily basis. Just keeping up to date with everything, I suppose, must be a task and a half.
Yeah. So like many other regional offices in Brussels, I think there are maybe up to 500 offices representing the European regions. So, you know, it's about being the eyes and ears for the regional assemblies and for local government. So I suppose a lot of people will say that we live in the EU bubble, and the EU bubble, you know, I suppose in some ways is essential because we need to understand how policy is being formed, what's coming out, finding out in advance, you know, through our contacts and through our networking, what's going to be coming down the line, and for us, how it's going to impact local government and the regional assemblies. And that's really key. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but the regional assemblies act as the managing authorities for a number of cohesion policy programmes. So in the run-up to the new funding cycle, 2021 to 2027, we've been very closely involved with the European Commission and the European Parliament and the Committee of the Regions in terms of how that legislation is being formed and how then that is going to impact the work of the regional assemblies.
Yeah, I mean, is there a changeover period between the periods, between the 20 period and the 21 to 27 period?
The EU funding cycle runs on a 7-year basis, so the EU budget is a 7-year budget, and it's negotiated for those 7 years
between
the 20 member states. So in most cases, it runs seamlessly from one to the other. One funding period doesn't just end and the other one begins. It's very complicated rules around and spending of the funding for a couple of years after the end of the actual programming period, and then the other gives the time for the other funding period to get up and running. So we're in that stage now where the funding programs are all opening for calls, for applications, etc. So it's a good time to be interested and to find out what funding might be available for projects in communities, be it through local government or through community groups or through any of the other universities or research organisations, etc.
Yeah, I mean, you spoke about the Committee of the Regions there. For the layperson, what is the Committee of the Regions? What do they do?
Yeah, the Committee of the Regions is an institution. It's part of the EU legislative process, and its remit is to give voice to regions and cities in the EU. So it was established about 25 years ago under the Maastricht Treaty. Mm-hmm. And really, it mirrors to a large extent how the European Parliament is set up. And obviously, we know the European countries elect MEPs to the European Parliament. Mm-hmm. Committee of the Regions then is made up of locally elected representatives from across the 27 member states. So the Committee of the Regions is consulted on all new legislation that is being formed at EU level. The main difference in the Committee of the Regions and the European Parliament is that the Committee of the Regions' opinions are advisory. So they're not a co-legislator.
Right.
Committee of the Regions is not a co-legislator like the European Parliament is, but their opinions are used to advise the other institutions of the impact of, or the potential impact of, legislation on regions and cities. So a very important part of the legislative process, and also the institution that is closest to the citizen. So it is locally elected members that are the first line of government, if you like, for a citizen. You know, so we're all very familiar that we as citizens will contact our local elected member if we have a problem with our roads or our bins and all of that. So it's ensuring that when legislation is being formed, that it has that local impact taken into account.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're the coordinator for the Irish delegation. What does that involve? That sounds like a really huge job.
Well, that's a very interesting and enjoyable job. The Irish delegation is made up of 9 members and 9 alternate members, and they're all city or county councillors from across Ireland, and they represent the regions of Ireland. And the role of the office, the Irish Regions European Office, is to provide support to those members. So that, on a day-to-day basis, involves providing members with briefings. So they all sit on different committees and involved in different work within the Committee of the Regions. So it could be on environmental policy, mm-hmm. on cohesion policy, citizenship, social inclusion, education. So a range of different issues. And myself and my colleague, we provide briefings summarising what the legislation or the proposed legislation is. And then we always give what the Irish perspective is. So we let them know sometimes what the government policy is, or sometimes what Irish organisations are saying about a particular issue. So we make sure that they're fully briefed on what the piece of proposed legislation is, and then what the impact is for Ireland. And particularly for local authorities. So yeah, it's a very interesting role, and it's a very varied role, but also very exciting.
Yeah. So you were telling me the president is visiting this week. He's coming to Ireland for 2 days. I mean, that must be pretty exciting news for the Committee of the Regions.
Yes, so the president of the Committee of the Regions is Apostolos Zizikostas, and he's a Greek member of the Committee of the Regions, and he was elected president 2.5 years ago. And he is coming to Ireland to meet with the Joint Committee on European Affairs in the Oireachtas. He's also going to be meeting with the business community, and he's through IBEC. And he's also going to be meeting with Trinity College Dublin. And we are holding an event called Youth and Democracy. That's on Thursday the 16th. And we want that it's on youth and democracy, and the president will be speaking at that alongside the Minister for European Affairs, Thomas Byrne. And that's an opportunity for young people to come along and hear about the key issues that are facing young people in terms of democracy. So we'll be examining a number of issues, including the use of social media in the political process. And we'll be examining in more detail the European Year of Youth and what that means for youth organisations. So, and what does the future of Europe look like, and what young people would like it to look like. So that's a really interesting event. So we're delighted to have President Zizikostas come to Ireland. And I think that's a real recognition of the work of the Irish delegation and how active they are within the Committee of the Regions. So we see that as a very exciting visit.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he'll be having a good look around the city as well while he's Absolutely. Here doing a bit of networking.
Get a bit of networking and a bit of sightseeing.
Exactly.
Really Dublin.
Perks of the job.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dublin and the surrounding region has so much to offer. So I know certainly his delegation are particularly excited to perhaps get some Guinness and visit the storehouse, etc. So
yeah.
That's always...
I mean, has everyone been practicing his name in the...
Everyone's been practicing his name, indeed. It's we're not quite used to Greek names, but yeah, we're getting there.
So can you talk a little bit for us about the IREO support to the Irish local authorities and how that works?
Yeah. So as you mentioned earlier, Europe or the EU and Brussels can feel complex. It can feel very confusing for people. And I think what we try to do is break it down into layman's terms of understanding what you need to be interested in or what Irish organisations, particularly local authorities, need to be interested in. So what we do is we produce a newsletter every 2 months, and that highlights the funding opportunities that are available. So there's a host of funding programmes depending on different areas of interest. So it could be around environmental policy, it could be social inclusion, it could be Green Deal, it could be agricultural policy, etc. So we help local authorities to understand where those opportunities are and where they could potentially participate. Then we also help them to find partners. Right. So as I mentioned earlier, there are like at least 500 regional offices here. So a number of the funding programmes, particularly the cohesion policy programmes, would like you to cooperate and find and work with other regions across Europe to deliver a project. So we help local authorities find other regions. So quite often that can be daunting because we have different cultures, different languages. So we have all of the contacts here in Brussels, and we make the links for them. We also seek to raise the profile and strengths of local government in Ireland. So we take some of the good practice that is going on, and we use that, or we find opportunities. So there are a number of different initiatives that take place every year in Brussels, European Week of Regions and Cities being one of the major events that happens every October. So we find opportunities for Irish local authorities to present their work at those types of events so that we can then showcase the good work that's ongoing in Ireland. And then we seek opportunities for influencing policy developments. So, you know, if there's a piece of legislation that's coming down the track that we think is going to have an impact on Irish local authorities, we work with our government representatives, and that they're called the Permanent Representation of Ireland to the EU.
Yeah.
So we're based in the same office as them. So we work closely with them. We work very closely with our MEPs, and we put forward the views of Irish local government to them, which helps them or to understand our concerns and also helps them in their decision-making processes.
Mm.
So it's about, I suppose if I was to put it in a nutshell, it's about breaking down maybe some of the more complex language and helping local authorities to understand where they might be able to avail of the opportunities, be it policy, showcase, or funding opportunities.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me today, Teresa. It's been so informative. I'm learning new things all the time.
Thank you, Paul. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thank you.
today I am lucky enough to be speaking with Declan Rice. Declan is the CEO of Kilkenny Leader Partnership, which is the original driver of the Neural Vision project. So, hey, Declan, thanks for chatting with me today.
Hello, Paula. Great to be here.
Thank you so much. So let's start off. Do you want to maybe tell us a little bit about the Neural Vision project and what it's all about?
Well, the Neural Vision project is, to borrow a little sort of a variable tick we use, was we like to say that it's long, wide and deep, by which we mean it's a long term project. Looking at the idea of strategic development for the River Nore catchment. It's wide in that it's the whole catchment, and it's deep in that it's integrated between the various interest groups and thematics, you might say. So everything from water quality to heritage to land use, farming or industry, to recreation, to tourism, all of which are integrated and have an effect on each other. So we conceived this idea, it sort of emerged from our work in Leader and Rural Development as an area where people were interested and supportive of the idea of biodiversity and habitat protection. And generally, they also wanted to turn towards their river rather than turn away from it, as they've often had for generations or hundreds of years, and embrace it. But they weren't quite sure how. And there was a multitude of agencies out there, all with slightly different briefs or quite different briefs on, you know, water quality or protection of the environment or whatever. So we conceived this idea that we would look at a community-led initiative, which would look at developing a long-term strategy, which encompassed everything, and that we would do it. We initially thought of just Kilkenny, but then we very quickly realized water flows downhill. The water flowing into the Nore comes from Laois and Tipperary. You know, unless we get them on board, you know, we can't really affect it. So that's where it came from, and that's where it's going.
Yeah, I mean, Ireland seems to sort of function around its rivers, doesn't it? Obviously, you know, we've got the Liffey here, and Dublin kind of centres around the Liffey. And obviously, yeah. You've got the Nore there in Kilkenny.
Well, the Nore is one of the biggest ones, not the only one. We also have the Shure, which flows through on the southern boundary, and the Barrow on the eastern boundary. So the three sister rivers are valleys, are its distinctive geographic feature. And I think that is the point. They don't just flow through Kilkenny. We share borders with people. So when you get into those type of situations, you know, it's a question of what can you do together? Because you can't do it on your own.
Yeah. So, I mean, are there a lot of people involved in the project?
A lot of volunteers, everything from those of us who are involved at the level of the project itself. So, I'm a paid staff member of KLP, as are my colleagues. And we sort of initiated the project, and we then got our colleagues in Laois and North and South Tipperary, the three leader companies there, to become involved. They willingly did that. And we got people from the local authorities and various agencies, inland fisheries and whatever else, National Parks and Wildlife Service. But we also got a lot of volunteers, because we try to make it something which is meaningful, not just talking in sort of rarefied terms about strategy or whatever. So you get things like citizen science initiatives, where people came along to do citizen science, in other words, to sample waters and see how it was doing and to record that correctly. And people got involved, say, to help with invasive species removal of things like knotweed, we wouldn't go near that. That's just too difficult. But Himalayan balsam, which is fairly endemic on the river systems here, and, you know, while it's a very pretty plant, has an effect on the ecology. So a lot of people got involved with things like that, or turned up at heritage nights looking at the idea of the various mills and things in the river and what they're for. So you could be talking about a core group of maybe, you know, 20, 25 people who are intensely involved in it, and then maybe a wider group of maybe, you know, 100 people who just come along for one activity or two activities and, you know, wouldn't have the same level of, you know, involvement on in everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's the ultimate goal? What do you see, you know, for, say, 5 years down the line?
Goal is that there would be an agreed strategy between all the stakeholders, which is sort of jargon for all the people who have a say in the river, that the communities, the farmers, the anglers, the canoeists, the agencies of responsibility, on a strategy for the Nore across a broad range of things, which would be more ambitious than what they have to do anyway. So, for instance, let's take the example of water quality. If the target for water quality for the Nore might be for improve it to the level of good, a very good water quality. We'd say we want excellent, you know. Yeah. So you're actually looking to go beyond what they had to do anyway. So, for instance, so that's a challenge, obviously, for agencies, because are asking to step beyond that. But you know, I think that's what we need to do if we are to to actually achieve something here which is worthwhile. So that's we would want an integrated strategy saying on each of those elements, so water quality and heritage and recreation and land use and, you know, tourism, that we would have sustainable integrated plan which covers all of those and which is mindful of all the other parts of it.
Yeah, ticking lots of boxes, Declan.
Well, certainly hope we're ticking boxes, metaphorically. Yeah. We hope we do more than ticking boxes.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
That it would mean that the waterway, the catchment, was much improved, much healthier, much more accessible to people too, because we had this discussion here in work just a few minutes ago, talking about there's a philosophical issue on what I would call preservation or even versus conservation. And I'd be very much a conservationist, because I think that if you just try to trip people out of things like waterways or areas, that they lose interest in them. You know, what you really want to do is give people a stake, and to give them a stake has to work both ways. They have to see a merit beyond its intrinsic merit and they're being involved. In other words, recreation opportunities, things like that. So it isn't something which you put an aspic or an amber and say, don't go near this again. Something which they can use in their day-to-day life in a sustainable way.
Yeah, no, it sounds like an absolutely incredible project. So you're part funded by the EAFRD?
Yes, we are what's known as a leader local action group, or a leader company, as we used to be known in old money. And we operate, we're a non-governmental organisation or a registered charity. And we're not part of the state system, although we have, you know, a lot of state programs and state monies. But our one of our core pillar programs is the LEADER program. Mm. And we were originally one of the original LEADER companies in Europe, going back 30 years, 30 years in operation. So we've changed our name in that time in various iterations, but we were known, actually, coincidentally and interestingly, Barrow North Shore Rural Development. We were called after the Three River Systems. But that company was sort of, for various reasons, had to hand over the program and its staff to a new company, which is in Kilkenny alone. We used to cover a much larger area, almost the catchment, actually, funnily enough, catchment area of the north. But we now cover Kilkenny alone. But now what we're doing is reaching out into that old catchment and talking to people there to say, look, this is and it is really a natural geographic region, which is what LEADER used to be, interestingly, before the administrative boundaries bit sort of started to put its handle on it. So, yeah, that's where we are.
So, I mean, what was the funding process like? Did it take a long time to get the money allocation?
The funding process didn't take that long. The development process took a long time. You have to explain to people, and people are understandably, what's that about? And that sort of sounds good, you know, and oh, you're not going to be able to do that. And so it really took a lot of effort and time and meetings and cold halls. And, you know, some of the meetings were very positive. Some were slightly sarky. I mean, it wasn't just ourselves. We knew you'd have consultants who you'd brought in. You have to work with them and explain to them and then get them to champion it. And then you have to champion it. And then you have to have meetings. So it took a while. But now the Norvision has been delivered. The first round of it was delivered there during COVID, which really helped as well, of course.
As we
approved it in March 2020, we hit by COVID. A lot of the actual actions meant going out. Now, it's turned out we managed to do a lot of them. You know, an awful lot of online meetings and seminars and things and all that, which, you know, work very well, actually, and got a lot of response. But at the same time, it isn't the same as meeting people. So there was about, I'd say, a good 18 months, 2 years of development work before the project was finally approved. Well, from initial conceptions and talking about it. Yeah, definitely that. So, and then the project itself was delivered over the best part of a year. And then we decided to run a part two in Laois and Kilkenny alone. So our colleagues there, Tipperary, didn't do it this time because they're a much smaller part of the catchment, and for various reasons they felt that they did sit this one out. But they are very involved overall in it. So the project itself, to some degree, is a vehicle, an aid to the overall concept. So you know, we're doing all this training, we're doing these type of things. Their way of actually in doing that, say, you know, this is about, this is about them, this is about trying to develop a strategy, it's about this, are you interested? And in the last, say, 6 months, a company, which actually there did exist, a company called the North Catchment River Trust. It was there for many years, and it was looking like it was on its last legs. So the people running it were, it was a non-profit company as well, but people on it were getting on to get involved. So we decided we would collectively, not just KLP now, but partners, they invited us to take it on board. We took it on board. That company's up and running, and its first staff member, which will be paid for from contributions from the Heritage Council and from the Law Pro Office, the local authority waters protection program, will start next week. We've come a fair bit from concept and then explaining the concept to actually doing it.
Yeah, so I mean, how important has the funding been for Norvision?
It's been essential.
Could it have happened without the funding?
It couldn't, because you'd just be talking to yourself. You know, you'd be talking about what a great idea it is. But when you actually do stuff and people see it, when people are out there, when there's kids out there doing, you know, citizen science, older people who were able to remember the river and the importance of the river, they're talking about what it meant. When you have the funding to do stuff, you can engage in the philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, and it is back to that idea of conservation and needing to have that activity and needing to show this is why it's important. You know, you can win all the ideological points you want, but if people don't see the value as meaningful to them, well then, you know, it's a tree falling in the forest, you know, nobody knows. So that's where we are.
Yeah, fantastic. No, you're doing amazing work, Declan. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's been fascinating.
Europe in my backyard.
Europa in casa nostra.
Europa in mi casa.
Un'inchiesta radiofonica sulla politica di coesione europea.
Radijsko poročanje o evropski kohezijski politiki.
Europe in my backyard.